And greeting friends around the world, this is Garner Ted Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. And it's about time we heard some really good news for a change, because it seems most of today's news is bad. Why it is that men always have to live seemingly trembling on the brink of war seems to be a perplexing problem. Why should men have to live in fear of sickness, in fear of drought, of bad crops, in fear of disease, crime, poverty, living constantly in fear of war? Is it normal to live in abnormal times? Is it normal? Is it to be expected? Should we desire or simply accept that we must always be living in a time when we're analyzing the last war, writing novels about it, talking about it, looking back on it, and yet all the while talking about when the next one begins? Never before have you lived in any more dangerous times than these. And it's vitally important that you come to understand the real meaning of these times and to know why it is that men seem to live constantly in fear of every wrong and evil thing. What does it all mean to you as an individual, to your loved ones, to your family? What does it mean to your nation, to your own future? Well, believe it or not, the answers to these most perplexing of questions are found in the greatest source of knowledge ever given to man, the Holy Bible. Now, maybe you're shocked to hear that the Bible has anything whatsoever to do with today, with this age, with this time, with conditions on this earth. But it has everything to do with it. It has to do with your country. It has to do with your own personal future. Have you ever known before that one full third of your Bible is prophecy? Perhaps if you're a regular listener to the World Tomorrow program, you've heard us say that many times. Well, you need to come to prove it to yourself and to read and to become familiar with these prophecies of your Bible. You need to know that prophecy is tomorrow's news written in advance. That prophecy is merely world history, but it's world history written before it happens. And now it has come God's time to open these prophecies of the Bible to human understanding. Back in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, you read how the ancient prophet Daniel was given a tremendous vision of impending world destruction, of some of the great world-ruling Gentile empires that would successively rule over portions of this earth. Daniel merely saw, in a dream or a vision, many great and mysterious beasts and animals, Bible symbolism. He wondered what it meant. Well, God said to him in verse 4 of the 12th chapter of Daniel, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many, God said, shall run to and fro." In other words, travel would increase. The barriers between nations and language and commerce, in their ancient histories, their old antagonisms and resentments, would begin gradually to be broken down. And by universal language, by more travel, the barriers would begin to disappear, and so many would be running to and fro. And he said, "Knowledge shall be increased." Later he said in verse 9, after Daniel had asked, "What are the end of these things?" He said in verse 9 of Daniel 12, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Well, when he said until the time of the end, then he meant at the time of the end, just before the climactic close of the age, Almighty God would make known the real meaning of these mysterious Bible symbols, the real meaning of these prophecies. And right now is God's time to make known to the world as never before by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and opening these prophecies of God to make known to the world what is surely going to be occurring in the very next few years. Now, God said it would be a time of world trouble, a time of world wars, of wars and of rumors of wars, a time of upset weather conditions, a time of violence such as never before in the history of this earth. Well, Jesus talked of these same days. Notice it in Matthew, the 24th chapter. The famous Olivet prophecy of Jesus Christ, his parting instructions and message to his own disciples just prior to his crucifixion. Turn in your Bible to Matthew 24 and beginning to read in verse 1. Jesus was asked by his own disciples what would be the sign of the end of the world and of his coming. In verse 1, Jesus went out departing from the temple. Matthew 24, verse 1. "And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, You see all of these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And then as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be?" Oh, they wanted to know, when is all of this great destruction going to occur? "And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the consummation of the age," as the margin has it, or the end of the world? Now, does talking about the end of the world sound like a little bit of religious fanaticism to you? Well, Jesus talked about it. The Bible speaks of it constantly. The New Testament apostles talked of it. Here it is then in your Bible, the sign of his coming and the end of the world. And Jesus, first of all, talked about great religious confusion. He talked about hundreds of ideologies and differing conflicting opinions of different groups and teachings and so on. He said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many, not just a few, but many, shall come in my name, saying I'm the Christ, and shall deceive many. Yes, Jesus said it is possible to preach him as the Christ, to identify Jesus Christ of Nazareth as the Messiah, as the Son of God, and yet to deceive many. So just preaching in Jesus' name is not a stamp of approval or the truth, is it? Now he said, verse 6, notice how it applies to this time in which you're living. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And what do you hear of today? Why, you cannot pick up a newspaper or a news magazine without hearing either the report of the latest little brush fire, hot war, or rumors of greater and more disastrous wars rumbling on the horizon. Wars and rumors of wars, it seems, characterize the days in which we live more than any other single news event. You, Jesus said, shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Then he said, verse 7 of Matthew 24, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. But Jesus said, all these things, these upset conditions between nations, the threat of war, men living in fear, nation rising against nation, all of the fist shaking and the bigotry and the prejudice and the misinformation and the assumptions, all of the false ideologies that are palmed off on unsuspecting minds, all of the famines of the upset conditions in the weather, the pestilences, the mounting disease and epidemics, the earthquakes in diverse places, all these, said Jesus, are the mere beginning of sorrows, or as the Bible margin has it, travail or tribulation. Yes, the times then in which we're living right now are merely the signs, the signals of the beginning of a time which will be greater, more troublesome than any other time in the history of this earth. Jesus then went on to climax the whole thing and then wrap it all up in verse 21 of Matthew 24 by saying, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And he said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Well, my friends, do you know that unless the atomic and the hydrogen bomb had been developed, and unless men were right now feverishly working on greater and more rapid methods of delivering those atomic and hydrogen warheads a half a world away, that these vital words of Jesus Christ could not have been really applied to any other day prior to ours? That these words of Christ spoken hundreds of years ago were never more applicable than they are right now today. He said, except those perilous times of great tribulation, those times of impending world climax and of world war should be shortened, there would no flesh be saved. And we're living in a time when world leaders threaten the annihilation of hundreds of millions, of running roughshod over helpless, defenseless nations for the pursuit of their own selfish ends. Well, are we then living in the times prophesied by your Bible? Did Jesus know what he was talking about? Is the Bible up to date? Oh, yes, it's the most up-to-date book that has ever been written. And Jesus described to a T exactly the times in which we find ourselves living right now. Now let's notice, going over to Isaiah, the 34th chapter, and verse 1, that God does not just single out specific nations, although he does in certain portions, but that Almighty God says he has a controversy with every nation on this earth, that every nation on the face of the earth has rejected God's laws, that every nation on earth is essentially greedy, bigoted, selfish. It is going into moral depravity. It seems to revel in sadistic brutality and mounting crime rates, in problems in the home, increasing divorce, juvenile delinquency. Everything that is rotten and evil, the wrong and the base part of human nature. Now, Almighty God says there's a reason for it. There's a reason why men are living in unhappiness, why they seem to fight the weather instead of the weather being their ally, why it is they have to go through severe winters and hot summers, why it is they have to have drought and famine, why they have to hear of accidents, of the loss of loved ones in accidents, why they have to go through disease and sickness and mounting doctor and hospital bills, why there is mounting insanity and mental debility and problems, why it is that we seem to have fights and arguments and upset homes, why it is that it seems there is nothing but troubles and problems and heartache and sickness and the threat of death. Well, does this sound like the voice of an alarmist? Does it sound like all is wrong and bad and maybe the birds aren't really singing outside and maybe the sun won't really dawn tomorrow? No, I don't mean it that way, but my friends, it's time we took a good, long, searching look at the world around us. At our own lives, our own homes, our own families in particular, at our own nations, and began to realize that all is not well, that the world is not headed in the right direction, that we personally are probably not going in the right direction, that we're not as successful, not as happy, not as healthy, not as productive, not as satisfied as we would like to be. Well, God said in Isaiah 34 and verse 1, "Listen to all nations," he said, "come near, you nations, to hear, and hearken, you people, let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Eternal is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them," says this prophecy for the future. "He has delivered them to the slaughter." Yes, God says he has a message of admonition, of correction, of rebuke, a message of absolute indictment for every nation on the face of this earth. Now, over in Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, and beginning in verse 15. "For thus saith the Lord Eternal of Israel unto me, the prophet Jeremiah, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand." The message then of Almighty God likened to a wine cup of fury that he stands ready to pour out upon reckless, heedless, rebellious, God-defying individuals on this earth and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. Well, now, do you know that God caused Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Hosea, the other prophets, to write these messages? And do you know that in many cases the messages of Almighty God to these nations have never before been proclaimed to them? Do you know that in many cases the prophets merely received the messages and visions and dreams and direct speakings and then wrote them, that they've been contained in books and manuscripts, that they've been preserved and carefully transmitted and translated until they have come down to us today, but that they have never before until this precise time been proclaimed to the nations to whom they were intended? Well, God says, "Cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad," that is, insane, "because of the sword," that's warfare, "that I will send among them." Now notice verse 30 of Jeremiah, the 25th chapter. Here is a prophecy that shows that these wrong results, all of these upset conditions, the miseries, the sufferings, the sickness, the unhappiness, the fear of war, is a direct result of broken laws. That Almighty God simply shows us in his word, the Bible, that obedience is going to net rewards. Obedience and adherence to his laws that, after all, have merely been given us for our own good, the laws that guide us and show us the way toward peace, toward success, toward mental health and stability, emotional maturity, toward physical well-being, a robust good health, toward happy marriages, obedient children, financial success, everything everybody everywhere wants, that all we've got to do is to follow these laws and reap the rewards and the blessings. But it seems that everyone wants fun. They want happiness. They want good times. They want vacations. They want fringe benefits. Oh, they want to be healthy and not have their physical bodies hurting. They want to have mental stability and peace of mind, real happiness, looking toward the future with a sense of security, a sense of real fearlessness, of meeting it without any problems or any worries or doubts. And yet it seems they want to burn the candle at both ends. They want to recklessly and heedlessly go in the wrong direction. They want to break with impunity financial laws, material physical laws, spiritual laws, marital laws, every law that Almighty God ever instituted. You know, recently having traveled through so many countries in Europe, visiting five of the major capitals of the six nations in Euromart, I was amazed to see that you can't go into any nation and really see happy faces. You can't see restaurateurs. You can't see taxi cab drivers, people on the street, people in their automobiles or buses. You can't see people anywhere that it seems are really satisfied and happy. Why, all you see, you know, I used to get so totally disgusted with the average New York cab driver, and I don't much care if New York cab drivers are listening, because it isn't just New York, but any big city. It seems that people living in large cities are so engrossed in the helter-skelter
rush in no particular direction to make a buck and living in a concrete and steel and asphalt jungle where it's a kind of a dog-eat-dog scramble for material success. But they seem to forget anything else. And it seems that shouting and screaming and bickering and arguing and fist-shaking and epithets is the rule of the day. Well, you know, I used to think that was a particular lot that fell, the province of the New York cab driver, and I've changed my mind. I think Paris cab drivers, I think German cab drivers in the German cities, and I think cab drivers in Rome, Italy, in Milan, Italy, along the Riviera, in Paris, as I said, in France, in London, England, and anywhere else are all the same. And I think that people are pretty much people in any nation on the face of this earth. They're filled with unrest and discontent, and they're not happy. And they wonder why. Now, you know, when you drive in a cab, and it seems that every time someone gets in front of the cab driver, he's got to lean half out of the window and scream all kinds of filthy epithets and shake his fist and get into a near altercation. Something somewhere is wrong. People are impatient. They're in a hurry. They have no tolerance, no respect, no love for fellow man. Well, notice what God says. God gives us a straight-from-the-shoulder thundering indictment from heaven above and said in verse 30 of Jeremiah 25, to all nations, not just this country or the other, but all nations, therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Eternal shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation, he shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Eternal has a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. God says, I've got a bone to pick with you. I've got some indictments against you. I've got a case against you. Here's what it is. He says he will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, says the Eternal. Yes, obedience nets rewards. But disobedience nets punishment. Wrong living, wrong values, emphasis on material things only, are going to net the sword. In other words, an ancient symbol of war. Thus says the Eternal of Hosts, verse 32 of Jeremiah 25, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation. Yes, it sparked here, or it started there, but it spreads like a cancer to all other countries. And my friends, right now today, we're living in fear of this or that or the other crisis that could just begin to spark a very dry tinder box and inflame the entirety of this earth into a gigantic World War III that would mean the ultimate annihilation of all mankind. Well, you can be thankful, Jesus said, as we just read recently in Matthew 24 and verse 22, that for the sake of the elect, for that scattered, pitiful few, that little handful of people who are doing the very work of Almighty God, who are believing and obeying and following Jesus Christ, God says he's going to step in and cut it short and spare this earth from ultimate, total destruction. Well, God says that evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Eternal shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be as dung upon the ground. Now, God is describing here the time identified in your Bible in more than 30 prophecies as the day of the Lord, the time of the drastic, direct, personal intervention of Almighty God in world affairs here below, the time when God begins to take a hand to save man from himself. When God begins to intervene in the course of nations, when he begins to stop the wars that are yet to be started here below and begins to punish himself. And woe be unto the nation that falls under the sword of the eternal God of the returning Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven. Because the punishment that is heaped upon one nation by another nation that God might use as a tool is not going to be as bad, nowhere near as severe, as the punishment that comes from heaven above, from Almighty God and the returning Jesus Christ. God inspired the Apostle Paul to write in the book of Hebrews, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And we'd better hear and fear and believe that unless we are beginning to become willing to change our own personal, individual ways of living, our own habits, individually and nationally, that punishment is surely going to come. Now, ancient Israel had to learn by experience that obedience nets rewards and disobedience nets punishment. And God showed them by depriving them of their own national inheritance for 2,520 long years that he meant business. Today, it seems the end-time generations of those very same peoples haven't really learned that lesson. We're going to have to learn it all over again because it seems we cannot learn by history that any nation that forgets God, that forgets its creator, that disobeys his laws, that goes its own selfish, carnal, greedy, self-willed way is going to end in the same result, that of national punishment. Now, God says in Hosea, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse, turn to this and read it with your own eyes in your Bible, my people, said God in Hosea 4 and verse 6, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. God says nations are beginning to be destroyed, that war is going to come, that we're going to have world turmoil and trouble because we have rejected the only source of knowledge that would really lead to peace, that would lead to everything we want. God said through the prophet Isaiah, the way of peace have they not known, that men and bodies of men do not know the way to peace. No, Almighty God says he has a controversy with the inhabitants of this earth, with all nations, that a time of turmoil and of trouble such as has never before occurred is going to strike this earth. Now look for just a moment at the way it is building up today in all nations. Today, crime is increasing the world over. It seems that even in nations of Europe, where heretofore we had not heard very much of juvenile delinquency, right now, with Europe becoming increasingly prosperous, it seems standards are beginning to change. And recent articles have shown that juvenile delinquency and crime is mounting by leaps and bounds in Italy, in Germany, in Scandinavia, that youthful violence is on the increase, bequeathed in part, perhaps, by the influence of the entertainment world. It seems that lives are empty here and abroad in every country. It seems people are purposeless. They're unhappy. Divorce is on the increase. It seems everywhere in Europe and in the United States you find nothing but discontented people, unhappy homes, wrecked marriages, poorly trained children, wrong standards, false values. It seems we find weather disasters, earthquakes increasing, storms, drought, famine, unusually hot summers, dry summers, no snowpacks on the mountains, water pollution, ruined crops, two wet winters, too much heat, and then cold breaking the records. It seems the weather is the enemy of man instead of his all. Well, why? Why all of this and so much more? So much more I couldn't begin to relate it all on a dozen programs. Why so much sickness, so much poor health, wrong diet, poor foods, no exercise? Why physical and mental debilities? Why health deteriorating? Well, does it sound like the voice of an alarmist or something? I want you to notice. Many people turn to religion for an answer to their problems. And yet Almighty God says that doesn't solve it for many because it seems they merely assume or take certain things for granted. No, this is not the voice of an alarmist. This is not someone painting a wrong picture. These are the actual, factual pictures of personal and national problems the world over. We need to realize we're very near the very time spoken of by Christ himself, by the New Testament apostles, near to the end of the age, near the impending time of the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, near the beginning of the kingdom and the government of Almighty God. I want you to turn now to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, written by the Apostle Paul, inspired of Almighty God, and notice how God described through the pen of the Apostle Paul these very times in which you're living. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse, Almighty God inspired Paul to write, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. I've been describing those times on the entirety of this program to make you aware of the real picture, to get our eyes open, our ears alerted, to begin to shock us out of our lethargy and apathy and to become aware of the world conditions, of the real meaning, the significance of these days in which we're living. Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I'll tell you, it's depressing. It's absolutely frightening to see. But the extent, let's say, to which men will go in self-centered love of their own selves, being covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, as God said they would be, caring, it seems, nothing for even the niceties of the respect for fellow man, the simple courtesies and the basic honesty of life. It seems everyone has his hand out, that everyone is in a constant struggle and fight to make a dollar or the lira, or the escudo, or the perhaps Deutschmark, or perhaps the pound, or something else, whatever the monetary standard might be. It seems the almighty dollar, or whatever it might be in your nation, is the god that so many people covet. And it seems they're willing to go to any means to get it, by any means whatsoever. Well, God said we would be covetous, we are. He said we would be boasters, we are today. Proud, that's the way we are. Blasphemers, that's the way nations and peoples are. The only way you ever seem to hear much about the name of Christ anymore is in profanity. Disobedient to parents, and look at our juvenile delinquency mounting by leaps and bounds. Unthankful, oh yes, we are. Prosperous Europe, prosperous America, and yet unthankful. Unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors going back on our word, heady, that is self-willed, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, admonishes your Bible. Well, my friends, let's admit it. Let's come to be aware of it. Let's see it. We're living in the very last times of man's experience on this earth. We're living at the very close of the age. We're living at the time of the beginning of the great tribulation, the time Jesus Christ spoke of. The time when he said, we should be watching and praying always that we might be accounted worthy to escape these terrible things that are yet going to strike this earth. It has never been more vitally important for you to be aware, to be up to date, to know the meaning, to be informed about world conditions. The way you can do it is, first of all, get your name on the mailing list for the Plain Truth magazine. And also write for this amazing booklet, 1975 in Prophecy. Science and industry look toward a great age of even greater and more gigantic glutton fluency, toward an age of absolute push-button leisure, where you can punch a button and watch an automatic sweeper do your own rug for you instead of even having to run the electronic marvels of today. They look for an age where we can just be great, fat, bloated pigs and have machines doing all of our work for us. What does God say is going to happen? Here, in a step-by-step sequence of events, not as men plan, but as God says it will occur, is a summary of all prophecy, that neglected one-third of your Bible, from now until the time of the second coming of Christ and even beyond. A picture into the world tomorrow. This booklet, profusely illustrated with pictures and artist's conceptions, 1975 in Prophecy. It's 32 pages, two colors, absolutely free of charge, no price. And also don't forget to request the booklet, The United States and the British Commonwealth in Prophecy. Now, they're free of charge. There's no price. All you need to do is send your name and address to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. Be sure now not to forget to list the call letters of your station, write or print your name and return mail address plainly, and then listen again for the address in just a moment. And so, until tomorrow and daily over most of these stations, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.